Good morning, good afternoon, good night, whatever time it may be, wherever you're at. I want to thank you for tuning in to Positivity Spartans. It is the pusher of positivity, the maestro of motivation, your boy Isaiah. And I am joined today by three very special guests, two you know. One is a new listener, hopefully a new faithful listener, a very interesting person. Actually was able to listen into her Instagram live yesterday, and her energy is dope. Her energy is amazing. She brings it. She says what she has to say. And I really feel like she's going to bring a nice little level to this podcast for today's episode. So without further ado, Nicole, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Nicole Ray. Many people know me from a variety of different perspectives. You know, you could say writer, seer, clairvoyant, mystic, psychic. Some people go as far as to say witch. I don't even claim that, but I guess now into that category because of all the unknown elements to what I practice and who I am. Because I'm a seer, I'm able to see beyond the space-time continuum, so I'm able to tap into things that most people can't tap into because they're inside of time, you know, and that's what creates the illusion of the future and the past. So I guess I just come in whenever I'm summoned, wherever I'm summoned, and give forth a perspective that kind of exists outside those parameters, if you will. For that, I'm a creative. I'm musically or even to write. So, yeah.
Okay. I like that. So you would say you're more spiritual.
I have a term. It's too oversaid.
Okay. I got you. That's totally understandable. I feel that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's dope. And now also, I couldn't hear a little bit. It may have cut off, but what'd you say? Like you found your inspiration. Something did you say that was like from the channels, from like just how you feel? Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Okay. Well, as far as my creative channels are concerned, I usually get my inspiration with that from the things that I experience and how it makes me feel. So really the creative aspect of what I do is about feelings and deep emotions and things that most people can't articulate or describe or even have the capacity to feel because not many people are very emotionally intelligent. They actually repress a lot of their emotions. And in terms of the metaphysical element of what I do, my inspiration is just to stop suffering. You know, I think that a lot of people are unnecessarily suffering because they're just unaware of certain things. And if they were more aware, it would bring about a lot of liberation and healing. But so long as people run away from the more unknown aspects of life and existence, I feel like they'll just sit in the pit of what was or what they were taught things are supposed to be. And they never really find a real solution because they're not trying to evolve. You know, they want to stay the same.
Sheesh, that was a gem right there. That truly was a gem right there. Yeah, that was a stamp, exclamation. and
can I ask a question, Hub?
Yeah, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
All right, Nicole. So thank you again for doing this. It means a lot more than you know. I met you freshman year of college in, what was it, 2009, 2010, 2010, 2011? I can't remember exactly. Mm-hmm. I've seen you grow and I've also seen you evolve over the years. But what helped you get to this point where you realized that this was necessarily your passion or, you know, what you were destined to put on earth? Because I remember, I think in undergrad, you were an English major, correct?
Sociology.
Sociology major, my apologies. You were sociology. And then I remember you were no longer in school. You went from Costa Rica, now you're in Honduras. So just kind of bring us up to speed and what made you move the way you did.
Okay, that's an interesting story. So I've been a seer my entire life. A lot of people ask me if I was taught how to do these things, but it's been a thing for me my entire life from as early as I can remember, I would say 3 years old. My family's known, but nobody's ever nurtured it because it frightened them. So it was something I kind of had to pretend wasn't there. So in undergrad, that was kind of when I started to really experience more animation in the spirit realm than I'm used to, you know, because now I'm dabbling with drugs and alcohol and deeper sex and more intimacy. And, you know, that allows me to get in tune with myself on a deeper level than maybe that of what I was doing in high school or middle school or elementary school, you know. So when I started to get into such energetic, complex energetic experiences, it showed me some things that I couldn't see. And not only that, after I tapped into that, I started to see entities inside of people in college at UMES. Like, that's a traumatic thing that a lot of people don't know happened to me. And I didn't leave my dorm, or at the time it was my cluster. I didn't leave for like a, I didn't leave for like a week because I was scared shitless about what I saw inside of this girl. Everybody just thought maybe she was a little slow or something was wrong with her, but I was able to see what was actually happening. And, you know, then my aunt, I called her and I'm like, I can see things and nobody else sees. And I'm like going crazy. I'm not eating. I'm not sleeping. I'm trying to read the Bible and all this stuff. And she calls all these people from the church. They're speaking tongues. Nothing is working. And it was from that moment forward that I was like, yo, this shit don't work. I mean, if it's true, maybe something don't want me to be in touch with that truth. But as far as my authenticity is concerned, this isn't working for me. It hasn't brought me any peace. It hasn't given me any answers. It gave me no sense of security or nurturing or safety. It just wasn't my thing, you know. And I was Christian at the time. So from there, I kind of started looking for the answers to why I am the way that I am, because I couldn't live like that. I couldn't live in like such paralyzing fear to the point where I can't eat or I can't go outside or I can't sleep. So from then on, even if it wasn't at the forefront of my day-to-day, I was looking for that truth, you know? So eventually I dropped out. And I kind of did it in a way to, like, make it clear that this isn't my passion. You know, I think I dropped out right before I was supposed to, like, a semester before I was supposed to graduate.
Yeah, I think it was junior year.
Yeah. Yep. And everybody was like, you were right there. Why don't you finish? And I'm like, because it's not, you know, it's not, it doesn't resonate with me. So then from there, I think I did a little things here and there. I think I was trying to do hair. I was trying to do music. That's what I was doing, because I always did music through undergrad. So I was like, let me be a musician. I'm like, you know, follow my passion to be a singer, right? And then that didn't really work out. So then I was like, okay, I'm going back to college. This time I transferred to North Carolina. I'm lying. Before I dropped out the first time, I transferred to North Carolina A&T. And that's when I started to really get into meditation and reading all the occult knowledge books. And I was getting really high all the time. I was like going there, like I was in it, you know. And I finally had my own space, whereas at UMES we had to kind of share. At A&T you get your own whole house and you only share with one other person, so I had a lot more freedom. I had like two cats. I'm talking to the cats and I'm just getting back in tune with everything. And then I think I drop out of A&T, and then I go back. I tried to do music. I think that didn't work. So then I went back to UMES for the second time. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to do this. And I literally didn't even get through the semester. I started doing hair. I started making money. And I'm like, and then I think I got my first car. So I was like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm out. And so I left. I drove back to DC. My aunt was like, you're dropping out again. And I'm like, I don't want to be in school. Like, I'm going to figure out what it is. I'm not trying to bridge all of these things and try to make sense of what's happening to me. And you know, best of luck to you and your things, but I'm going to do my thing. So I ended up having this thriving hair business over like the span of maybe 2 years. I was back and forth from New York because I'm originally from New York. So I was doing hair. I got really popular. I got my own studio. And that gave me a lot of financial freedom to do the things that I liked. So for a long time, I was just doing hair and getting really high still. I think I had an edibles business that got really popular in Brooklyn. And I just went through a lot of different things. I think we'll be here for 3 days if I really tell you all of it. But
yeah, you definitely, definitely very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely very interesting.
Y'all have no idea.
You've always been a person. Say, since I've known you, you've always been a person to keep it real. You know, you don't have any cut cards with people. And, you know, you've been very authentic and confident within your own individuality. So that's something you've actually taught me along the years. So I appreciate you and I admire you for doing that. It's something you've taught me
That. Yeah, you know, delving out into like beyond the parameters of what your parents or your religion or your church or your school says is safe or normal gives you a lot of intel on existence. Like, and that's probably what they don't want, you know, because from there you can really liberate yourself. You know, you can really not care about what anybody thinks. And once you're liberated in that respect, like, shit, you can do whatever. You can manifest whatever. You can discover whatever. But within that parameter of what's traditional.
That word, huh? Manifest. Yeah,
yes, sir.
You can't go but so far within that parameter. So, you know, I always, one thing I kept doing, no matter what phase of my journey I was in, was testing those parameters. Like, I kept confronting myself. I kept on, oh, that's dangerous. Let me go over there. Oh, yeah, I said that that's wicked. Let me go explore it, you know? Oh, that's demonic. I want to study it. Oh, that's witchcraft. Oh, I'm about to delve right into that. Like, I was like that. So, you know.
So you always chasing that higher frequency, the vibe.
Yeah, right? I didn't want to be governed by fear. Like, whatever seemed the most absurd, I was throwing myself into it, even if I was still scared while I did it, you know?
I can dig that, because, you know, fear is just, fear is limitations that we put on ourselves. Yeah. Fears ain't even real.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So for you to just tackle those like head on, that's definitely transcending, to say the least.
Yeah, it's very freeing, very liberating. And I know what it is firsthand to be paralyzed by fear. So whenever I come at anybody for being scared, it's coming from a firsthand experience. It's not like I've always been brave and you're weak. It's kind of like I've been weak, right, and I can recognize it, you know?
Right. Right, and a lot of people won't admit that, because I believe you said earlier, a lot of people are, they're not as open emotionally. So, I mean, they're not even open emotionally with themselves.
Right.
You know what I mean? To even see that fear, to even see that fear is crippling them in a manner that's, you know what I mean, stopping them from achieving whatever it is they want to achieve.
Right, exactly.
Now, so you live in Honduras now?
Yes. So I was in Costa Rica for like 2 years, and I just kind of did one of those fear things again. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I just got comfortable here. Let me go somewhere where I'm not familiar at all. And here I am.
Right. That's dope. Always going out your comfort zone. How was it out there? Like, what's the atmosphere like out there?
It's actually amazing. You know, one of my biggest problems with Costa Rica was that there weren't a lot of indigenous culture still intact because of capitalism, consumerism, tourism. You know, they kind of raped the land and turned it into a goddamn, you know, and then exactly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all of the indigenous culture either gets wiped out, or they are so scared that they have to hide who they are, because they don't even want people to know that they're indigenous. You know, they just throw away their practices, and it's really sad, you know. So although Costa Rica was really beautiful, I love the land, and I even want to go back because I just miss it. But culturally, no. In terms of integrity, yeah. No. In terms of building anything there, no. Everybody has lost their integrity completely, and they're just trying to get to the bag. You know, it's like in the United States backyard, so not much is happening in terms of the type of elevation that I'm after.
Gotcha.
Do you miss America?
yeah, I'm telling you, that question was coming.
Yeah, I mean, I miss the vegan food spots. And I do miss the occasional ratchetness. I'm not going to lie to y'all, but, you know, to make it an everyday.
You need a dose.
Yeah, I need my dose.
You need a dose every now and again.
Bro, we got some crazy stories from undergrad, man.
You want me to go into that? I got the receipts and everything.
She said to me, hey, we're going to find some pictures of you, Eric. We're going to find some pictures, man.
Eric used to be. Can I tell one of the stories? Y'all got time and space for that?
Oh, sure. You can tell the story.
Okay, here we go. So Eric was in a relationship with this girl, right? And this is in one of those phases of mine where I was always high all the time. Like, I was never sober. So, you know, he was like, you know, bestie, I'm going to come pick you up. Da, 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 and I'm smoking with a friend. So I'm like, okay. So he comes, he picks me up, and I get in the back seat. And his girlfriend's in the front, and then another one of his friends are in the back. And the energy just felt really tense. And I was like, okay, I don't know what I just walked into, but I'm going to just act like, you know, it's regular. And I'm like, how y'all feeling? And everybody just felt like they were on edge. And I was like, all right, I'm going to just, you know, sit back here and be high. So then we get to the parking lot, and I think him and her start going back and forth about something. I don't know what it was about, but it escalated real quick. So we finally arrived to her destination. And then she was like, da, 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 you know what, blah, blah, blah. She's yelling. And then the other friend is like, hey, guys, blah, 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 but not saying much. I'm back there confused because I don't even know what's going on. He jumps out the car. It was Valentine's Day, too. So it was raining, and it was Valentine's Day. He pulls all the balloons out of the trunk, throws it in the street. And I'm like, Eric, what are you doing? And he's like, not even, like, he can't even hear me. So I'm just like, is this, and then the friend looks at me like, I don't know what's going on either. I'm just trying to, you know, figure out what's happening. And then she was like, I don't care. I don't And then, like, I look around and, like, the whole parking lot has stopped and is just watching. And I'm like, oh, boy, we're being watched. So then Eric is just, like, in this, like, she got him so angry. And then he jumps back in the car. And I'm like, you good? He's like, yeah, I'm great. Are you good? I'm like, I'm fine. You seem like the one that turned up here. And then we drive away. Oh, it gets better. So then we're driving, and he's about to pull in a parking spot. You know, Eric is acting like he's just super level, because he's usually a level guy. You know, he's not a ill-tempered right. guy. So when he does have something that makes him angry, he's kind of like, whoa, who's that? So he's trying to pull into a spot, and some freshmen pull into the spot before him. He jumps up and goes up to the freshman's car. And he's like, you see me trying to pull in here? He started pulling niggas out the car. I'm like, oh, Eric. Now, mind you, I'm still in the car. The car is in drive, right? The car is driving into a dumpster. So I'm high. And I don't drive yet at this point. So I'm like, Eric, it's a dumpster. It's hitting a dumpster. So nothing dawns on me to jump in the driver's seat. So I'm just sitting there while the dumpster is moving and crashing into the next car. And I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So I finally have enough common sense to put the shit in park. And then I jump out while he pulling these little boys out the car like a fucking, like the Hulk and shit. And I was like, Eric, stop. We can find another parking spot. That shit was so funny, y'all. I've never seen that. Hola!
Lane. Yeah, it Lane. Was hilarious. Yeah, bro. Yeah, what's up?
Lane, you had the audacity to come at me for almost whooping your commander's ass. And you got a story like that in the cut? Oh, man.
Hey, bro. It was justified in one.
That shit was funny.
Hold on. Oh, man. Hey, happens to the best of us, man. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, that's, man.
Funny, man. Hey, we all got one like it, man. It's all right. Okay. It's quite all right.
Hey, I know Cello got some crazy stories about you growing up, man.
Maybe.
Hold on, I'm sorry. You guys broke up a little bit. What did you guys say?
Oh no, we were just talking about how about that story. Because Lane likes to come at me crazy for some of the things he's seen, but he ain't tell me about that story.
Man, nobody really knows about that. Like, I was just one of those, like, glitches in the Matrix. And I was like, what the hell?
Right.
Who is this guy? And he had the nerve to look at me like, you okay? I'm good. I'm straight. I was like,
I've never seen Lane angry, man. So I can only imagine when he on that edge.
It's rare. Like, I'd never seen him angry either. So imagine me. I've known him for years. And I'm looking like,
and I'm high. Amplifies everything.
Amplified it, you know?
That's pretty funny.
Right.
That's pretty funny.
Good times, man.
That's tough. Not to, you know what I mean? Not to like dim the room, but you know, we got some topics we want to cover and take get your opinion on. Now, I listened to you live yesterday, and once again, I want to say you're dope. Your energy is dope. You said a lot of shit on there. I even wrote down two things you had said that really hit me. If you don't mind, if I share those. It said,
absolutely.
Don't rebuild no fuck shit. I like that one a lot. that one was good, man. That one was real good. And then the second one was stop trying to force everyone to play your role. That was a gem right there. And with those two, I just kind of want to lead it. So this is cool because you're not in America. But I know you still sort of keep up, you know what I mean, with everything going on. Because like you said, you miss America a little bit. What are your thoughts on, you know, just what's been going on this last few years? Bless you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, I have a couple, and I've had to evolve in my perspective of it because I know that my perspective alone isn't going to change anything. But what I've been saying through all of this, even starting with the coronavirus, which is where I believe it all started with the war on consciousness and things. This is a vibrational issue. You know, this is a reflection of everybody's frequency, you know, and most people vibrate at an extremely low frequency where they're only concerned with the three Fs, feeding, fighting, and fucking, you know, they're stuck in this eat, sleep, entertainment cycle, and they don't really delve outside of that. So because of that, you know, even if they get intuitive hunches to do better, eat better, you know, silence their minds, they're so stuck in that cycle that they don't ever really get there. And that has a detrimental effect on their internal equilibrium, their balance, how they're able to discern what's happening to them or the ability to make that connection between the internal world and the external world, you know? So, like I was saying in a couple of the lives before the one that you tuned into, I think that this is a problem or an issue in regards to people's repressed shadow. And by repressed shadow, I mean the dark, dormant emotions that nobody wants to deal with that are just there, but because it's so normal to hold them inside, this is from the reality, you know? And instead of doing internal shadow work, everybody's trying to fight and riot to do external shadow work, you know? So I think that's what's happening in the world. Everybody's trying to deal with their internal issues and pin it on something like racism, inequality. If you look at the level by which people love and honor themselves or uphold any kind of integrity, it's dwindled. It's deteriorated. So what could you expect from an officer? You set the tone for how somebody treats you and loves you. So, you know, this is a self-love issue. This is really a
I agree with that wholeheartedly. It mostly in part because, like, the I guess I could say the reaction that this has had is definitely a self-love issue. It's definitely an internal issue because I just, like, I sit there and I try not to because I'm real susceptible to energies and, you know, like I struggle with depression, you know what I mean? So it's real easy for me to get in that mood. So I try to stay away from, you know what I mean, all that. But at the same time, I know I have to expose myself to it in order to understand it. And it's just some of these comments and the things I see people say behind the, you know, their computers, behind their cell phones and everything. You can tell, like, they're dealing with an internal battle themselves. Like, you can tell that they have absolutely no love for themselves because it's like a, oh yeah, I don't care, F it kind of mentality. And you know what I mean? It really does make you realize that it's not necessarily a racism thing as a whole, but like you said, a person thing, a we as people thing, because, you know what I mean? Yeah, there's bad people, but if the good outnumber the bad, why aren't things changing? You know what I mean? Everybody still there? We're still connected?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, might be having some technical difficulties. But in the meantime, let me hear from you, Eric. How you feel about what she just shared?
Honestly, I never looked at it from that perspective, because, you know, pretty much all we're seeing right now currently on television and on social media is black against white,
right,
black against white. But as you guys alluded to and Nicole harped on her live yesterday, it's definitely an internal thing. You know, if you're sound, if you're whole internally, you know, people are going to, you're going to dish out what you have on the inside, essentially. And, you know, I know a lot of times due to social media and not even just social media, but even before social media came into the light, a lot of people were focused on putting on a facade. And, you know, a lot of people, they kind of shed away from highlighting their self-love, become more in tune with yourself, being confident in your individuality, right, having standards, having morals, having ideals for yourself. And I think we're just seeing a trickle-down effect from people ideally not knowing how to properly love themselves.
Agreed, man. Agreed. You know, self-love is the best love, but it's also, in my opinion, one of the hardest. You know what I mean? It's easy to express your love, you know what I mean, to somebody else, or it's easy to try and express your love to somebody else, to portray it, you know what I mean? Because there's so many physical things you can do, but, like, personal love, mm-hmm, self-love, man, it's tough, dude. It's tough because, you know what I mean, you look in the mirror and you may not be happy with what you see, and it's tough. It's tough to love something that you're not happy with, you know what I mean? And that energy just radiates out into the world, like Nicole had touched on, like you had just said, man. I'm glad she brought that up because that is definitely a perspective a lot of people are overlooking, and I myself overlooked as well. I'm not even gonna say I noticed that it took me like wow, and her to say that, to actually like click, like it really is an internal conflict, it's an internal battle with people. Is
Nicole, you still here?
Yeah, I don't know. She might have got disconnected, man.
don't know. Still says she's connected.
Nope, there it goes. Yeah, she just dropped. Oh, we'll try and get her back on if we can. All right, Marcellus, you good over there, man? Still, you still with us? He might be. You said he was in the car earlier. But,
Oh, dang. Cello disconnected as well.
Can you guys hear me now?
There we go. Nicole connected.
All right, sir.
Can you hear me?
You're back.
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you now.
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, great. I was just talking my y'all didn't even hear me.
Yeah. Sorry. Apologies for that. Listeners, okay. We've had some technical difficulties. We are all in different places. We are recording this through our cell phones, you know, so you have to bear with us.
Oh,
yes.
I was fine all that time.
Oh, we can hear you, bro.
Oh, man. See you too.
Yeah, I was trying to. So,
you were talking?
She kind of hit on, Isaiah hit on first, but you know how the issue isn't the issue? Like, there's always some underlining stuff, but I did not man. See from her perspective at all. Like, that dropped my jaw. Like, that.
Right.
Exactly, bro. That's why I had to bring you on here, man.
Completely, like, not even color, not even property. Like, this is a spiritual thing to hear from that perspective is awesome. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. That was enlightening for sure. And I'm not sure what you might have been saying when you were cut off, but I would love to hear it because I'm sure you was.
I was gonna play into the black and white narrative just for kicks and giggles to even put it into further perspective. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
this is a good conversation.
Let's take it from that perspective, right? So let's say that whites are just these racist pricks, and black people are just have been abused through the millennia. One of the things that I spoke about in my YouTube live was that the reason that we're even in a position to be physically beat or tortured or suffer is because we've given up our powers. Now, a lot of us think that power is relative to vanity or, you know, social validation, cultural validation, et cetera. But it's really about your subconscious power and your psychic power, right? So the fact that we're even able to be touched, the fact that we're vibrating so low that a being that we say vibrates on hatred is able to access us says a lot about us. So if we were to increase our frequency by harnessing control over the power of our subconscious or harnessing our psychic power, there are so many different things that could take place. I don't know if any of you have heard of telekinesis, being able to move things with your mind, or levitation. That's actually a real thing that you can do when you harness your psychic power. Or overall, subconscious control is how people manifest things, but ours are kind of out of control because the school systems program us subconsciously, and the churches program us subconsciously, and the music videos and the movies and the music program us subconsciously. But what if we programmed our own subconscious? That would create a totally different arena. But the reason that we're so disempowered is because we don't know that power. We only know physicality. We only know all these vain third-dimensional aspects of our existence. So what I was saying was, if we were in that power and if we honored ourselves and loved ourselves and had that upheld integrity, there would be no opportunity. There would be no space for there to be any police brutality or any racism, because we would hold ourselves to a way higher standard. We keep trying to fake like we're raising the bar by rioting, but we're not raising the bar. We're actually leveling the playing field where we're meeting them at their frequency. If you raised your frequency, you wouldn't even be accessible. You wouldn't even need their system. You wouldn't even want to play their game. You wouldn't even be aware that there was a game to play, because you would be on such another dimension with it. You know, so I know it's a complicated thing and it's hard to digest for some people, but it really is the solution. And, you know, I've been trying to, like I said, reshape and remold my perspective into one that people can digest, because no one talks about this in schools. You spend years getting a degree, a PhD, and not one person mentions vibration and frequency. If you're in science, maybe if you're in science, you might, you know, delve into metaphysics, or even in sociology, which is why I loved it. You might even touch into that when you get into the people like Karl Marx and stuff that talk about the shadow stuff and all that. But beyond that, it's not something that's emphasized. And that I think that's for good reason, because if people were empowered, there would be no need for any of this stuff that we hold so near and dear and allow to validate us. So, you know, I think that's what it's about. This, like I said, on a basic level, it's a self-love problem. If you loved yourself a little more, which requires self-awareness, you know, which requires shadow work, which requires dealing with your demons head on and feeling your emotions to their full capacity, and with alcohol or weed or sex or, you know, entertainment, then you would get a lot further in your, you know, for your personal evolution, and you could vibrate higher. But those things are scary for people. It's uncomfortable for people, and we don't want to do that. So long as we refuse to do that, I think this kind of thing will persist.
Yeah, I don't even I'm blown away. Right. That was powerful for real. That was very powerful because you hit it right on the head. I mean, I don't even like I said, that was jeez. One time for Nicole Ray, ladies and gentlemen. One time. Cause that right there, I mean, it's like that's it. You mean self-love. Like, if we all just loved each other a little more, you know what I'm saying? There wouldn't be no room for that. And I love that you said it like that because, like, you know, I'm just now starting to dabble into, like, the vibrations and higher frequencies. Like, I started with loving myself first and moving on into, you know, the next levels. And, you know, that's for real. You know, once you vibrate at a certain frequency, it's like, other things don't matter anymore. Other things don't affect you as easily because you can see past the bullshit.
Right. Exactly.
And that was just power. So to hear that coming from somebody else, you know what I mean? Lets me know that I'm moving in the right direction. And I know it lets others know they're moving in the right direction. So I definitely appreciate you for coming that hard for real, for real.
Anytime.
Definitely. Uh-huh. So Nicole, I have a question.
She said that she was a little worried in that, huh?
Man, I ask her a million questions all the time. She knows that. She knows that. So I know you briefly highlighted everything, but what do you think the first step would be for Black people to move forward and heal past this?
Stop calling yourself Black.
Mm. Mm.
Ooh. Ooh, elaborate.
So what I've also discovered in all of this was that identity is more valuable than gold. If somebody can teach you that you are something, be it Black, a minority, whatever, the bottom of the totem pole, an ex-slave, etc., which is not, it's not condemned to one skin tone. That's ridiculous. There's melanin in nature, in plants, in animals. Melanin is just a thing. It's not a race. It's just a higher level of melanin and a lower level of melanin. So this also delves into my eye reading services. So I've done eye readings on people that have been other races in other lifetimes on other timelines. So not every Black person you see was always incarnated as a Black person. And not every white person you see was incarnated as a white person. Some of them were Black before. So that changes the whole playing field. So to try and say, this is all of our collective history. This is where all of us come from. This is what all of us went through is absolutely absurd. You know, that's all karmic stuff. So if you accumulate, let's say you were a slave master and you were wicked and you accumulated this specific type of karmic debt and, you know, you tortured people, you killed people, you were just plain old wicked, low vibrational dense, whatever you want to call it. Let's say you die and you reincarnate and now you're a Black person in poverty, you know, in the projects at the lowest of low, because that's your karmic depth. So now you have to go in and understand what it is to be quote unquote Black in a certain society or culture and what comes with that. And now you're suffering to pay off your karmic depth so that you can have a certain level of awareness and compassion and no longer do things like that on a karmic level, not on a racial level, you know. But when they play the kind of mind game or the kind of subconscious manipulation where they try to make everybody think that they're of one race, just because their skin just happens to be brown in this incarnation, I think is messing everything up, because now you trust everybody. Oh, you're Black. You're my brother. Not necessarily. There's some Black people that have done wickeder things than white people, but they get a ticket because their skin is Black. There's some white people that are more connected than half the Black people I know, but they don't get no credit for that because their skin is white. So it's like, what are we really talking about here? And if we had more discernment and more intuitive resonance with what we experience, like we're not looking at what hits our five senses, but a little bit beyond that, you could start to see like, oh, whoa, I'm dealing with a different type of being here. You know, it's not limited to their physicality. So, you know, if somebody can teach you that you have one fixed identity, I mean, they can create anything around that and control your whole emotional field, you know? So I think that's where it starts.
Yo, that's word. That's word for real. Cause, you're putting me onto a lot of different perspectives with things, because you really got me when you hit me with the not every Black person is reincarnated as another Black person and so on and so forth. I you know, I'm one who does believe in reincarnation, And I've never actually thought about it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you always hear people joke, you know what I'm saying? You keep doing what you're doing. You're going to come back in your next life as a cockroach or something like that. You know, and I never thought of it like as you may come back in the other shoes. You know what I mean? The shoe may be on the other foot. You know what I mean? You may come back as a slave. So that blew my mind right there.
It gets pretty interesting in terms of the whole time thing, because I know you've probably heard this in theory before, but you know, time is an illusion. So with that in perspective, you know, all of this is still like everything is happening at the same time. You know, slavery is still going on from the 1500s. That's still happening at the same exact time. Right. That's why I'm able to tap into it when I do an eye reading, because it's happening right in an alternate timeline, you know, because time travel is based on evolution. So if you take out the historical context of, the 1600s, that's when that happened, or the 1500s, that's when that happened, that's like a spellbind to keep you trapped inside of the concept of time. But outside of that, it's governed by vibration and frequency and karma, you know, so all of these things are happening at once. That's why deja vu is a thing. You know how you say, I experienced this before, I don't know how. That's just a product of there being this waking reality that you're in, and then another parallel reality or universe where you're doing the exact same thing at the exact same time, but something about your frequency or your vibration changed, and it shifted something like a quantum leap of some sort. And then you're like, whoa, what happened? It's because you chose something different, you know? And then if you were to put that on a more on a more macro level, it's the same.
That's crazy. Dude, I have deja vu all the time. Like, and it's weird. I can have dreams about stuff, and it can happen like 7 years later.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nice.
I would need to. That would be a whole nother interview, like, to get into that. Because you have to context
for that stuff. Yeah, you're more than welcome to come back at
so
any time.
I have a
I'll
question.
Tell you that.
So, since time is like, you said it's a concept that we make up, but in your regards, like, what is like the farthest back and forward you've been able to see?
In terms of my own incarnations, or just the collective history,
like the people you've spoken to, yourself.
Probably, like, I wouldn't be able to put it onto a time period because, again, that's just for recollection purposes. But I've seen slave masters. Literally, the earth realm is just barely scratching the surface of existence. Like, most people are extraterrestrials and they don't know. You know, they're not from Earth. They don't come from Earthlings. You know, they're like a cross meshing of maybe a little bit of Earth DNA and extraterrestrial DNA, and they're just in the matrix, so they think they're just a regular civilian. So the depth of it doesn't really, it's not really limited to what has happened on the planet. It really goes beyond the planet sometimes. And the programming is so deep that when they incarnate or when they come here, whatever way that they do, they just think they're a regular 9-to-5er and just want to live their happy old life, and unaware of how rich their history is or how rich their bloodline is or how much they don't even really resonate with the components of this existential plane. So, you know, I can't really measure it that way, because that would require me to subscribe to time in a linear fashion. And it's not linear, you know, so it's a little tricky question.
It's pretty interesting, though, that you can even answer it that far.
Right.
Yeah, I can't. Like, a lot of people, that's why I don't say past life anymore. I say alternate lifetime, because it's still happening at the same time, you know? So when people say, how far back can you go? I'm like, I mean, really, it's happening right now. And if you find yourself, you know, acting out a lot of those themes from that lifetime, you're probably aligning with the same vibration that you were on in that lifetime. And once they aligned, you can transcend some of that energy so that you can elevate to a higher dimension. You know, so a lot of what's happening is maybe people that were slaves or people that were during the civil rights movement, they're aligning with that same vibration and hopefully will put themselves in a position to transcend it, you know, so that they can release that karmic debt and then move on to a higher existence.
So you mentioned in college you saw something that frightened you, right?
Yeah.
Did you figure out, did that have to deal with like someone's alternate life, or what was that? Did you figure out what it was?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't delve too deep into it, but it was a girl that was just possessed by a lower entity, you know? Mm. And her physicality was so deteriorated that it created the perfect environment for that kind of entity to just take over completely, you know? So that's all that was. And I from thereafter, I saw it plenty of times, like over and over and over and over again. And through most of my childhood, like I could be on a train and I could know when a rapist was near me or a serial killer, and I could just read into all of that stuff, and I would have to pretend that I couldn't tap into that. Mm. Or I would be afraid and I wouldn't want to go somewhere, and my aunt would yell at me and say, you know, what's wrong with you? This person isn't doing anything to you, but she doesn't see what I can see, you know? So a lot of my fears are just people's potentials before they've chosen whatever they want, like before they've chosen it, they want to act on it or not, because I could be around a rapist, but that don't mean he want to rape me. You know, I could be around a killer, but that don't mean me, you know, so. And I could be around a possessed person, but it depends on what the entity wants or what it's feeding off of. Some of them just want sex. That's what you would call like an incubus or a succubus. Others, you know, they're out for blood. So that's probably some of the serial killers that you hear about. They're possessed. You know, it's very complex. It's not just a cookie cutter kind of thing.
So does that make you want to not be around people, or you kind of just put yourself in positions? You're like, hey, I have to figure this out.
It depends, because most of the time when I experience things like that, my frequency isn't that high or wasn't that high, you know? So that was just a lot of what was in my immediate reality. Like when I was in Brooklyn or in the Bronx or in Harlem or wherever I was at, that was just the thing, you know, where there's less harmony, there's more of a playing ground for entities like that, you know, where there's less nature, there's less harmony. So it's just kind of like a demon city really in some of these highly populated areas.
This is so interesting.
Right. This conversation is like way deeper.
I did not think we were gonna be here.
Yeah. I'm being enlightened. I'm gonna be honest. I'm being enlightened.
Hey, I told y'all. I
wanna ask, like, so if you would recommend somebody to begin like on their journey, are there some like books or anything you would recommend, or like, is there some things you read, or how did that come
about? I actually have a tab on my website that's a recommended book section, and I have some pretty extreme books. Some of them are pretty basic.
Go ahead. Share your URL and whatnot.
Where can I put it? It's for y'all to see it.
You can send it to me after, and I'll put it in the description.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? So that way it's on there for everybody. Cool, definitely. Definitely. And go ahead and shout out your Instagram, so that way, you know, the listeners can go ahead and follow you on there, because I know you drop content on there as well.
So my Instagram is The Greatest Expression of Love. My YouTube is Nicole Rey, like NIKHOLREI. And I'll be the first one to come up if you type that in on YouTube. And that's where I put my more formal lives. Anything that you see on Instagram is kind of like an impromptu, raw, spur of the moment live, but my more planned ones are on.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Definitely. Yep. Man, honestly, I feel like we could sit here and talk all day. y'all have any other questions y'all want to ask, or do you have any questions of us, you know, before we wrap it up?
I'm sorry I made y'all so silent.
No, that's honestly a great thing. Like,
it's processing.
Hey, we need that thought-provoking conversation.
Right.
Because a lot of stuff it makes sense when you put it in that perspective. So, and I wasn't expecting your perspective to come off like that. So it's just processing. But it's definitely something that good to hear from. To have this, because we're all kind of like-minded in a way, but your perspective is something you rarely hear.
You don't necessarily hear. Yeah, it's very rare to hear.
Rare. It's rare.
Like when people say they want a different perspective, it's a little hard because a lot of people see from the same, from the same eyes, from the same experiences, not necessarily in the grander scheme, but there's little experiences that they already have a preconceived notion of things, but to actually get a new, perspective on things was definitely enlightening.
Yeah, and it's interesting.
So thank you.
I remember before my perspective even got that, wild. Like just maybe 6-7 years ago, I was just regular. You know, I was still a seer, but I didn't nurture that gift or even paid any attention. So it didn't yield me any kind of information. But the moment that I just started being like a super duper thrill junkie and just throwing myself into situations, like I could write a fucking book.
You need to. Don't say that.
I've put myself through just to learn. Like people think that they love to learn because they read books. Like the ultimate book is experience, you know?
Right.
So when you start like testing yourself and like just doing crazy shit that people tell you is dangerous or you're not going to be able to do it and just like, you know, it's really interesting what you can learn and how drastically your perspective will shift just because you can't unsee what you saw, you know?
For sure. For sure. All right. Well, Nicole,
thank you guys for having me.
No doubt. You know what I mean? You're welcome whenever. You're welcome whenever. You know what I mean? We'd love to hear your insights again if you would. But in the meantime, everybody listening, I want to thank y'all as well for tuning in. This was definitely some dope content, straight flames, gems, all that. Like I said, go follow her on Instagram, go follow her on YouTube. She drops a lot of dope content. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Lane. Thank you, Marcella. You know what I mean? Y'all got anything to say to the people?
Hey, right. Happy birthday to little Shiro again. And thank you again, Nicole, for showing some love. We appreciate
it. Anytime. And thank you guys for having me and letting me dabble a little bit.
Absolutely. Hey, bro, so funny thing before we cut off. I said, Nicole, would you be open-minded to coming on a podcast? Who's podcast? I was like, just some guys that met. What are you guys about?
I'm glad we align with the values enough for you to come on the show.
Yeah, I had to understand.
No, I feel that 100%.
Yeah, people get blind.
We understand.
Right. For sure. But once again, thank y'all. And until next time, positivity, prosperity.
Shiro, what are you eating?
You good?
I'm sorry.
Peace. Yeah.